Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
This is maybe my favorite topic. And you're going to hear a lot of my story. I can't talk about the Holy Spirit without telling you my story because they're so completely tied together. Before we jump into this, I want to tell you a very quick story about a time when I was first learning how to walk with the Holy Spirit. We were at this round table kind of thing in this conference room, and there's these people that came to train us. And so we sat down and they said, "Sam, would you like to pray for us to start?" And so I took all of the years of training on how to pray impressively, and I put it all into that prayer. Have you done that? Okay. "Oh, Holy One, Lord of all..." No, it wasn't that bad, but it was pretty bad. It was, I tried to pray the best prayer I could pray. And the guy at the end, he said, "Hey, thank you so much. That was great. I don't want to embarrass you, but could I do that again? Let me show you how to do it." And then he said, "Come, Holy Spirit. We invite you, we honor your presence." And we could feel the presence of God come into the room. And it was in that moment that I realized, it doesn't really matter how impressive you are. What matters is, does God come? Is he impressed by what you're doing? Is he impressed? Does he feel honored? Does he feel invited into this time? So we're going to take a moment to just do that. We're going to honor the presence of the Holy Spirit as we talk about him today, okay? So Holy Spirit, we love you. We know that you're always with us and you're already here, but we just want to take a moment to invite you specifically to have your way today. You can just, would you speak through my words? And would you speak into every person's heart right now? Thank you for being with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we are in a sermon series called We Believe. So there's these books, really good books, you can get up in the lobby upstairs. There's a Chinese and an English version. And we're going through, these are the basics of what do Christians believe. And we, in these books, we try to highlight what are the things that like all Christians can agree on. We're not touching on like super crazy theology or different, you know, opinions and stuff. These are the basics of what does it mean to be a Christian. And so today we're going to talk about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's go to the next picture really quick. Yeah. I'm going to actually read from this book for a moment. So this is a group of people from 1906 in Los Angeles. I took a really old photo and used AI to clean it up so that you can kind of like feel what they really looked like and stuff. This guy there, right here, his name was William Seymour, and I'm going to read about him just really briefly from this We Believe book. So in 1905, I need to start my, oh, we have a timer back there, that should work. Okay, in 1905, William Seymour, a one-eyed holiness preacher and the son of former slaves, so like one generation after the Civil War in America, heard Charles Parham, and I'll talk about that guy in a minute, teach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit in Houston, Texas. Parham would not allow Seymour in the classroom, so he sat in the hall and received the Pentecostal doctrine. So this was at the height of segregation in the United States, where blacks and whites were not allowed to be in the same classrooms. Like, so this guy is like receiving this from the hallway outside of a classroom. He's keeping his heart unoffended that he's being treated badly, and he receives this in that setting. It says, when Seymour was filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, "I could feel the power going through me like electric needles. I was laid out under the power five times before Pentecost came. I talked and laughed with joy far into the night. I received the baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire, and I felt the presence of God in my heart, my hands, my arms, and all through my body. Then he got invited from Houston to go to Los Angeles. So if your geography is okay, that's quite a long train ride in the United States. This is 1905, I think, 1906. So he goes, he preaches one sermon, and he goes back for the evening service, and it says the deacons had padlocked the church to keep him out. Because they were like, this is too radical, we don't want it. And so he's left everything to take this church, he gets one sermon. Now this is the guy, listen to this. This guy, he has to sit in the hallway to receive this doctrine. He doesn't get offended. He gets kicked out of his church after one sermon, and he just keeps going. A few members followed Seymour and began a Bible study in their home. On April 9th, God baptized several of them in the Holy Spirit. Soon the crowds were so great they could no longer meet in the house. They started meeting outdoors of the house, and there were so many of them on the front porch of the house that it actually collapsed. No one was injured, but they're like, okay, we got to find a building. So it says they rented an abandoned church at 312 Azusa Street, which was a former horse stable. If you've ever been in a horse stable, you know how they have lingering smells and stuff. By the summer of 1906, crowds had reached staggering numbers. People flocked from all over the world, and the scene was an international gathering. Every day, trains unloaded visitors from all over the continent. News accounts of the meeting spread in both the secular and religious press. They said of Seymour, he was not a gifted speaker, he lacked in social skills, and he had almost no formal education. I feel pretty good about, like, this is, God can use all of us. But God filled him with the power and used him to usher in the century of the Holy Spirit. Church historian Vincent Sinan has estimated, I want you to listen to this number, that over 850 million people received the baptism in the Holy Spirit in the 20th century. Okay. The population of Taiwan is 23, 24 million. Population of the United States is about 350 million. And that's not even half. That is crazy. One century, 100 years. So, this, we are in an amazing time in history right now with what God has been doing in history. Now, I want to show the next picture really quick. That guy, William Seymour, was trained by a guy named Charles Parham, and I'm going into a little bit of detail to make sense in a second. So where did he get it, right? Like, he, 1905, he receives this. Where did he get it? Well, if you go back and look at the history, it was 1901. There was no accounts of people having what was called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was like very sporadic. It was something that every now and then you'd have, like, D.L. Moody would talk about having an experience with that, or different famous Christians throughout history, but it wasn't like consistent in the church. And so this guy named Charles Parham and his wife and some people, they got together in this, the most remote part of the United States that you can find, called Topeka, Kansas. And they went to seek the Lord, and they said, we have to figure out, what is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? We keep seeing it in the book of Acts, but we don't know what it is. What does it actually mean? Like, we want to experience it. And so they're crying out to God, and on, I think it was January 1st, 1901, the presence of God fell, and they started to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues, and it drew a crowd, and then it freaked people out. This house was then, it was actually owned by a church denomination. They kicked them out because they were like, we don't want anything to do with this. And it was turned into a house of prostitution. And then it burned down in a fire like a few months later. Like, and then it was gone and no one knew where it was. Well, guess what? This happened in Topeka, Kansas. Guess where I'm from? Topeka, Kansas. Yes. I grew up in this town. I never, ever heard of this. Like, I thought it was like, I read it in a book one time in college, and I said, Topeka, Kansas, that's where I grew up. No way. Like, this can't be, how have I never heard of this? So, I go and I never know where it is, right? I just know it's in Topeka. When we moved back to the United States in 2015, we'd lived in China for quite a few years, and we bought a house in Topeka. And so we went and looked all over, you know, did the realtor thing, and we visited a bunch of houses. And there was this one that we were like, I think this is the one. We should buy this one. And it was kind of weird because it had like the floor was like had this giant crack in it. It looked like a little mountain. We had to like do all this foundation repair, but we felt like we should buy this house. So we put down the contract. We like put our deposit in. After we do that, we find out that that is the closest house at the time in the entire world to that was for sale to this location. Yes, I'm not joking you. We used to, for like 3 years before we came here, we would go to this parking lot and pray. This parking lot, I believe if you were a good baseball thrower, so I'm not, I wouldn't count for this, but if you're really good with a baseball, you could throw a baseball and hit the original foundation of this location. We got to pray there for 3 years. Now, why am I going to all that detail? Because I want you to just see that, like, the Holy Spirit has been a huge part of my life, but I didn't know anything about him for the whole beginning part of my life. Okay, let's move to the next slide. So we've got 5 points here that we want to hit. These are important theological points that we need to touch on. Number one, Holy Spirit is fully God. Okay, so this is important because you have teachings, like in other religions and stuff, where you have concepts of like, oh, there's a presence, or the force be with you, you know? Do you understand? Yeah. Like, what is the force? Is that God? Is that what, like, they asked George Lucas, and he's like, I don't know, I made it up, kind of, you know? The Holy Spirit is not a force, he's not a thing, he's a person, just like Jesus is a person, just like God the Father is a person. He's a member of the Trinity. Okay, next slide. I'm going to read this really quick. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So this is 2 Corinthians 13:14. You can find several other places in Scripture where Paul and other writers of the Bible they're putting God, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit all together. They're all God. They're all persons of God. Now, when I was a kid, I wanted to know God. Like, I was 3 years old, and I had this... It just came out of my earliest memories are, I want to know God. So show a picture. This is me. That's how old I was. That's how I looked at 3 years old. Okay. There are kids up there that, like, we think they have no idea about God. But God is interacting already with kids. Like, so me at this age... It was actually, I believe, in this room where I took the picture, probably. There was a set of curtains over here. And one day, I was like, I want to know God. And I was like, I was really embarrassed about it. I don't know why. And so I went and I hid behind the curtains. And I said, God, take me to heaven. And then I was like, I think I'm a Christian now. When I turned 4, I heard someone talk about Jesus. And I heard about Jesus dying on the cross. And I was like, oh, Jesus had died for me. So I climbed up into my bunk bed. And I was like, Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Can you take me to heaven? And I was like, okay, I think I got it this time. And then when I was 5, I asked my mom, hey, Mom, how do I become a Christian? And she walked me through it. And I was like, okay, I got it. I did that. Okay, I think I'm good. Like, I was so serious about it. I knew that I wanted God. I just didn't ever hear about the Holy Spirit. So let's go ahead and go to the next slide. So here's the second thing. The Holy Spirit lives in all believers. So at the moment that I gave my life to Jesus, as whether it was as a 3-year-old or 4-year-old, I'm not exactly sure, the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of me. And I can tell you that there were things that other people would do that I couldn't enjoy. I couldn't, like, as soon as God starts living inside of you, I'll tell this story. I went to church one time at like 7, 8, and I saw a pen. Like, it looked just like this, except it was red. And I said, I'm going to break one of the Ten Commandments. I'm going to take a pen from church. And I took that pen home, and I felt terrible about it for like years. Like 2 or 3 years. Every time I'd see the pen, I'd be like, oh, the pen. I stole the pen. Because God is working in my heart. And so let's go to the next slide here. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So in that story about the house, we actually hadn't moved into the house yet by the time I heard about the location, but we'd already paid the deposit on the house. What that's saying is, I'm super serious about this transaction. I'm taking money and I'm putting it here. If I don't follow through, I lose it. Okay? In our case, I think we put like $2,000. He didn't just put money down on us, he put himself into us. Like, he gave himself to us as the deposit. The Holy Spirit is the one that seals us, because we know that there's a time when God's going to restore all things. So we're in a stage right now in history where Jesus has come, forgiveness of sins is available for us to know God, and there's a time when judgment is coming where you can't change your mind anymore, and that's the end. That's the end of the story, of this section of the story. And this is the time where the Holy Spirit is the deposit. When you give your life to Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit as a seal that is saying, hey, I'm with you. I'm not leaving you forever until the end. Okay? I think for the sake of time, we'll move to the next one here. So the Holy Spirit works in the lives of the saved. So at this point, I had gotten baptized when I was 8 because I'd been begging my dad to let me get baptized, and he made me wait until he felt like I kind of understood it and stuff. And God was working in my life. Like I told you, the pen, like different things. There were things that God was doing that were obviously God in my life. But I didn't know how to partner with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So this is what you're going to hear in this, the rest of my story, is that we get the Holy Spirit when we believe, but we don't necessarily walk with the Holy Spirit. Even though he's here, he's not, if we don't invite him in, then he doesn't have permission to do everything that he wants to do in our lives. Okay, so let's read this verse here. Okay, so where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, and we are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. So when the Holy Spirit comes, it starts to change our lives. So I'm going to tell you a little bit of my story. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide though, because I want you to see, this is where I grew up. So Topeka, Kansas. I did a little ChatGPT research. And I said, hey, what is the location on the planet that is the farthest away from an international border or an ocean, a seacoast? Guess what number one was? No, number two. Number two is in Qinghai, China. Number two is Kansas, a city about 45 minutes west of where I grew up. So I'm in the middle of nowhere. I could go out, I'd go for a run, like when I was training for like basketball, and I would run maybe 5 minutes and I'd be running by cows, like cows in the pasture. Like, that's how I grew up. So I don't have much experience with God, what he's doing in the world, anything like that. But I have I was very serious about God as a kid. And then I got a little bit intellectual. Not necessarily bad to be intellectual, But I was like, okay, I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to figure out how to be a good Christian. I want to be a good Christian. And so I'm going to study more. I'm going to, you know, I did all the studying stuff. And I hit a wall in my relationship with God. Because like when I was a kid, it was like, oh, God, I love you. Jesus, I love you. You know, that's kind of how I interacted. As I got older, I was like, do I really understand transubstitutionary atonement? And I'd be like, do you want to have a conversation with me about that? Why are you leaving? Like, it made me feel like I was getting closer to God, but I really wasn't. So I'm at this wall. I'm 20, 21 years old. I'm sitting in a coffee shop, and I'm a bit depressed. Like, not super depressed, but, you know, just like, what is there in life for me, you know? So I'm sitting here, and these two guys walk through the door. And I think their names are Andrew and Amir, if I remember correctly. And they're like, hey, we've seen you on campus before. How are you doing, man? And I'm like, hi, yes, I think I've seen you before. And they're like, hey, this is awesome. I can't believe you're here. They grab coffee and they sit down at the table next to me and they're just talking. And then pretty soon they look over at me and they start talking to me. And I'm like, I'm just have my coffee. I'm trying to be depressed in a coffee shop. Like, can I just be depressed? And they're like, dude, guess what? They're like, so this is a University of Kansas, which is like usually one of the best college basketball teams in the United States. And they're like, dude, we just prayed for one of the center of the basketball team. And he had like injured his arm and he had this big bruise on his arm. We prayed for it. It totally went down when we prayed for it, man. And I was like, okay, like, that's cool. And they're like, God is doing so much right now. God loves you so much. Ah! And they're just like, I was like, who are you guys? And like, if you're not on drugs, what are you on? So then they're like, yeah, God just had us out here to like find people to just like minister and help them and stuff. And I was like, okay, go find them. And I was like, I hope I'm not the person, you know? And they're like, hey, we're going to go now, but do you want to come with us really quick? We're just going to pray for you before you leave. And I was like, yeah, I can't really say no to prayer, right? Like, so I'm like, okay, you can pray for me. So we go outside of the coffee shop, and we're in this like little alleyway, like a nice alleyway, not a dangerous one. And they're like, God, thank you so much for Sam. You love him so much. And they're just praying and praying. And they're like, man, God is just saying right now that like he's taking the signet ring right now and putting it on your finger. And he's so like, and they're just saying all this stuff about my future and what God is, what he sees in me. And I'm like, I've got these two things going on. My head is going alarm bells. Like, I'm so scared right now. Like, you just said God is saying, how do you know? Like, I am so freaked out because I'd never heard anyone talk like that. I'm just really terrified, like, about that. My heart is going, oh, this is what I've been looking for. This is amazing. So I'm freaked out, but I'm, like, not totally, like, sure what to do. So these guys go, hey, we do a prayer meeting every morning. I can't remember if it was 5, 5:30, something super early. On, like, Wednesdays, you should come. And I'm like, oh, maybe. Okay, maybe. And I actually go. And it's like, you know, worship time. I'm like, okay, I'm used to this. This is great. And then they start praying, and I'm like, oh, boy, this is really intense. They're like, Lord, we love you so much. Thank you, God. And then, like, neighbors are like, hey, quiet down. It's like, sorry, God. It's just really intense. And then they go, hey, who wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I'm like, not me. They're like, Sam, do you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Have you ever experienced that? And I was like, I don't even think that's a thing. So please, I didn't say that way. I was like, oh, no, I'm good. Thank you. Inside, I'm like, that's weird. I don't want anything to do with that. But I really like it here. Like, so my head and my heart are just like totally separate, right? I go back the second week. And they say, so again, this is Kansas. This is where I grew up. They go, okay, we're going to ask you to prayer up in groups of two. And I want you to, I've never heard anyone say to do it this way. They said, ask God what the other person is supposed to pray for you for. And I'm like, I don't even believe God talks to me. So I'm just going to close my eyes and I'm going to say, I didn't hear anything. Right? That'll be, you know, because. So I go. And I hear. It was like an audio signal, but there was no audio signal, but my brain received it. Does that make sense? I hear, I want you to go to China. And I was like, I opened my eyes. I've never heard from God before. And I was like, what is this? Like, I was totally opposed to this. I definitely didn't make that up. And I'm in here. Like, no way. So I tell the guy, yeah, I think God said for you to pray for me to go to China. And he's like, okay, cool. God, thank you so much. You know, I think it was 1 year later, maybe 18 months later, I was in China. Like, this is crazy. Okay, I just have to show one more Kansas picture. Some of you will get this and some won't. Next slide. Does anybody watch The Wizard of Oz? This has been plaguing me for years, everywhere I go. Anyone that's seen this movie, they're like, Kansas, yeah, that's in The Wizard of Oz, right? How's Dorothy? So, this is, so anyways, I'm going to just, I'll finish that story. I get on fire for God, and I'm like, God starts talking to me. Then next week they go, hey, Sam, this is your third week. Do you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I was like, in my mind I'm going, okay, no. But yes, I don't even believe in this. Tell you what, you can pray for me. I thought, hey, you can pray for me, right? Because then nothing will happen. And then I'll be able to say it was fake. Because that's what I really wanted. I wanted it to be fake. I didn't want this to be real. Because I'd never heard of it before. And I was like, how could I be in my 20s and never heard of this? Grow up in the town. At the time, I didn't even know this had happened in my town. So I said, yeah, you can pray for me. So they pray. And it is, man, it is the most awkward thing ever. I mean, this is me, like, okay, sitting in the chair. And they're just going at it. They're like, thank you, God. Thank you so much for Sam. We're asking you baptized in the Holy Spirit right now. Shut up. I mean, it's like kind of what you're most afraid of happening, right? It's just like awkward. Is anything happening, Sam? No, not really. Is anything happening now? No, not really. And they keep going. They don't stop. And then they go, is anything happening? And I'm like, super awkward. And then I go, wait. Yeah, something here. I don't know what it is, but there's like something coming up inside of me. I can't explain it. They're like, that's it. I'm like, is it? I don't know. They're like, they keep praying. And they're like, just open your mouth and speak if God gives you something. And I open my mouth, and my mouth, I start going, ka-da-ba-da-sha-da-ba. And they're like, that's it, man. I'm like, is it? I don't know. Like, something's happening. But I don't know. Like, I'm not sure. So it ends, and it's just super awkward. I'm just totally awkward. And I'm like, thanks, guys. I don't know what to do. So I leave. They give me, I have this, like, you remember MP3 players? Yeah. Now we use phones, but I have an MP3 player back then, and I have this worship music from this church in Africa. I've been looking for this CD, for this album, for years. I've never found it since. And I start going on like a run, and I feel the presence of God just come over me like crazy. And I'm crying. I'm running in the middle of like this college town. I love you, God. I was just like tears going everywhere. And then I finish the run. I'm like, what was that? And then I do it again. Same thing happens. And I start falling in love with God. I'm like, what? What is this? Like, why am I in love with God all of a sudden? And I wasn't before, even though I was seeking him. So, but all this confusion going on, right? Then I email my dad, because I'm like, if this gets out, I'm going to have some problems with my family and my friends, because we all think this is nuts. Like, we're Christians and we love God, and it's like serious, genuine, awesome people. but we just think this is nuts. And so I emailed my dad. I was like, hey, what do you think about this kind of experience? I don't tell him it's me. I just ask in general. He emails me back, and my dad is amazing. I love my dad. He just didn't have teaching on this. So he goes, hey, well, here's an article that you should read on it. And the article, the conclusion is, you're probably possessed with a demon. And so I'm just like, oh no, what do I do? Like, I love God, but apparently I'm now possessed by a demon. So I did the smartest thing that anyone would do. I just told no one and shut off everything. So I go into a spiritual wilderness for about 4 to 6 months, where I don't have any joy in my heart. I go much deeper depression. I switch my friend group. I just like get away from these people. And I hang out with other Christians, but like just kind of more name only sort of thing. Then God gets a hold of me again. Praise God. But I'm like, God, I'll give you my life, but we're not doing that again. Because that was too weird. I don't understand it. Let's go to the next slide. The Holy Spirit displays the presence and power of God. Okay, let's see the scripture too. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So I end up in China, because remember, someone prayed for me, and I get there. And I go to somebody's house. They don't believe in this stuff at the time, but they have this amazing library of books. And they're like, hey, do you want to borrow a book? And you, have you ever had that where somebody's like, hey, do you want to borrow something? And you're like, no, I'm not going to remember to give it back to you, but now I feel embarrassed. I'll take something. So they show this next one. I pick out this book called Chasing the Dragon. This is a woman named Jackie Pollinger. She shows up in Hong Kong in the 1960s. And I start reading this book. And she goes, yeah, so I had this experience where I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and I spoke in tongues, but I didn't know what to do with it, so I shut it off. And I was like, what? That's me. And then she's like, and then these people came and they said, do you speak in tongues? Do you have the Holy Spirit? And she said, and I said, yes, but I don't know what to do with it. And they said, well, you need to start again. She said, as soon as I started, all these people around me started getting saved. I started having actual fruit. And before, it was all work. And after that, I started seeing people get off heroin just by speaking in tongues, just by being filled with the Holy Spirit. I read this, and I remember I got on my knees. I was like, God, I don't know if this is real or not. Like, you have to send someone into my life to tell me about this. 1 or 2 days later, I go out to lunch. I haven't talked to anyone about this for years. By years, I mean like a year and a half to 2 years. I go out to lunch, and these two guys that I haven't met before are at lunch. And they go, hey, so do you guys know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I was like, what is it? No. Like, so I didn't say anything because I was just too awkward. They pray for some other people, and I'm just like, I'm still not ready for this. Finally, another like year goes by. We're getting close to getting married, I think, but we're running into a lot of problems. Like, not necessarily just us, but more like family and all kinds of stuff. And we're like, we've lost our joy. We're like down, depressed, everything. And her mentor, who's kind of become my mentor, they were doing like pre-marriage counseling with us. And they're like, you guys seem really depressed. Have you ever received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I was like, are you kidding me? Fine. Yes, I have. And no, I don't speak in tongues, but I'm willing to try. And so from that moment, we just started going, Holy Spirit, we need you in our lives. And we started inviting him into our lives. I started to speak in tongues again. And we got married very shortly. Like, everything changed pretty quickly after that. But our lives just started to adjust and align with what God was doing. Let's go to the next slide just for time's sake. This is the fifth one, I think. Can we do the next slide really quick? The Holy Spirit empowers believers to serve with power. So, and then next slide for scripture. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Jesus said that right before he was taken back up into heaven. He actually said, wait in Jerusalem. So I've given you this mission. Don't do it yet. It's like when you're like, hey, kids, go clean the bathroom. Wait, don't do it. You need cleaning supplies, right? Like we actually have to be equipped to do what he's called us to do. Okay, next slide really quick. So remember I told you I was like big study kind of person before? I still am, I'm a big study person still. But I was in my fifth semester of ancient Greek in college because I was gonna go to seminary, I was gonna be a pastor. And I was given this Bible study. This is embarrassing, but we had this Bible study. We would pack out a room in freshman year, the first semester of college. We'd have like 15 people, maybe more, packed into my dorm room. And we had a campus minister, a guy that was leading it. And it was awesome. He's like, Sam, you're so like, and he was just looking at my credentials of, I knew some Greek and I could talk about theological topics. And he was like, you should totally lead this next semester. Because he didn't want to keep coming to campus. I think he was trying to start a new one. So he's like, you totally take it. So I take it. It goes from 15 people to I'm lucky if I get two. Sometimes just one. And the way that I would prepare for the Bible study is I would read the text in ancient Greek before the Bible study. And then I would try to make insightful comments about it to these college students. Nobody cared. Nobody was interested. And I was going completely on my own strength, what I had to give. Okay, next, this is the last story I'm going to finish with. So this guy, this is AI-generated picture of a guy that came to our church after we started walking with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to call him Roger for the sake of this story. He literally wore a bowler hat like that every week. If you talk to him, you're like, Roger, how are you doing? Doing good, man. How are you? Really good. Good to see you. Good to see you, too. You're just like, man, there's just no joy or life. He came to church because his mom told him, I'm not going to give you your weekly living allowance unless you show up at church. She actually had an attendance taker at our church. What? To make sure that he had come. And if that attendance taker reported back that he had come to church, he would get his money for the week. And so it was like a punch card in and out. And I bet we had a month, maybe 2 months, with Roger coming to church. And one Sunday, I'm at the back with Christina, and she leans over to me. She goes, hey, I think God told me something for Roger. And I'm like, okay, good, go tell him. She's like, no, you tell him. I was like, me? Like, I didn't get anything for him. Like, why do I have to do it? So I was like, okay, what is it? She's like, oh. I'm like, okay. So we're in, not a church like this, like pews. You guys know pews? You know, wooden? Like, they don't move. And like, it's hard to get past a pew, right? Because like, you have to like, do this to not like step on anyone. So I get up, and it's the middle of, was it the sermon or was it worship? I think it was sermon.
Can't remember.
I don't remember. In the 9 o'clock, I told it as if it was the sermon. I think it might have been. But I get up, and I make my way over to Roger. He's sitting by himself. And I get past the pews and stuff, and then I sit down next to him. And I go, hey, Roger. He goes, yeah? Christina, I think had a word for you. From God. He's like, okay. So she says that you're like a lion and God is bringing you into, and I give this word and I, all of a sudden he goes, and he just grabs me in this hug and just starts weeping on my shoulder. And then of course I start weeping too. And so we're in these pews, you know, trying to do a normal church service and we're just like, and I didn't even get the word. Like, This is the difference between using our own strength to try to do what God is doing and using the strength of the Holy Spirit. So we end up, Roger was, before he'd be like, see ya, and just go. Now it's like, hey, do you want to go to lunch with us? Sure. Goes out to lunch. What's going on in your life? I'm really anxious about, okay, can we pray about that? Yeah, pray about that. How do you feel? I don't feel anxious anymore. Oh, but my back has been hurting. Can we pray for that? Sure. Pray for his back. Oh my goodness, my back doesn't hurt anymore. Like, had this massive encounter with God through a word that I didn't even get from God directly. It's all the Holy Spirit working. And so, this is what I want to end with, is an invitation. Because everything I'm telling you, I'm kind of like the classic, I would never want to touch the Holy Spirit kind of person. That's how I was just raised. But when God opened up my heart, it changed my entire walk with God. Now, I'm not going to put any pressure on anyone or anything like that. But if you're going, man, I really want to encounter God. I want to encounter the Holy Spirit. I want to have a new level of relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're going to have the prayer team up here. And we just love to come up, pray for you. It's not going to be like what I was demonstrating up here in my, okay, it's not how we roll here. There's no pressure, nothing has to happen. I'll quote something to you from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So all I'm asking you to do is ask. Because I didn't even want it really when I went up that first time, but I did one thing. I said, yes, you can pray. That was me saying, yes, I'm willing to ask. So that's what I'm just asking you guys. If you're like, man, I really need to experience walking with the Holy Spirit in a personal relationship. I want to be clear again. You're already sealed with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you don't have the Holy Spirit or anything like that. Okay, even in the book of Acts, there's two times, Acts 2 and 4, where the same people, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it's not saying there's some like special thing that but are you willing to step into this relationship with the Holy Spirit? Okay, so I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll have the prayer team come up. So, Holy Spirit, thank you so much for your presence with us. Thank you for this time that we have. Thank you for this amazing, amazing church and amazing people, Lord. And I pray, God, that right now you would just touch each person's heart and just, whether they want to come up and receive prayer or they want to sit there with you, but I just pray that we would step into that next level of relationship with you, God. We thank you that you are a God of relationship and that you love us so much. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.